Okay, good. So, yeah, so this is important stuff. This, so he's going to deal with tonight. We're in Perek Dalet. He's going to deal with today is the second category. Up to now, we saw the category of, we'll see things that relate to a person's essential livelihood. Now he's going to deal with those things which are beyond one's essential livelihood. And then he's going to deal with the ishtadlis. How does one relate to the ishtadlis to make extra money? And then he's going to deal with what one's supposed to do with that extra money. So those are the two aspects of this chelik. This is chelik base. When we said there's seven areas where a person has to have betochen. So this is the second section. Perek chelik hasheni, v'hu inyone kinyone ha'odom, v'sibo istarpoi, v'afne isokov, v'mischa v'malocha. This, we're going to discuss now the explanation, which consists of matters relating to a person's acquiring assets, sources of livelihood, his involvement in different types of occupation, whether it's commerce or whether he has malocha, different trades, whether it's in transportation, management, whether he's hiring himself out to work for somebody, working for government employment, gizboros vekablonos veamona, whether he's working as a in financial matters, gizboros, he's like a bookkeeper or whatever, kablonos, he's a contractor, vesifres umine haavoidos, writing or doing other kinds of services, vaalichos hamidboros vahayomim, he travels through the seas and the deserts, whatever. Obviously, the types of avoid, the types of ishtadlis we're involved in are very different in certain cases from what they had available to them then. So, but whatever these different whatever these different types of activities are, this is what people indulge in, these endeavors that people take and get involved in order to make more, to make money and to indulge in luxuries. Most people look for an occupation that will give them more than just the minimum. But they also want to have some sorts of, some sorts of comfort, some sorts of luxuries. We'll see where there's room for that as well. We'll see where that fits into the situation. Himself is going to validate that. So that's fine. So a person wants, he has a natural tendency, wants a little bit more than just the bare minimum. He understands himself. Person has to know himself well enough to know what that is. So what's the correct betochen someone has to have in this area? Afne Yosha betochen behem al Elokim, the correct betochen in Hashem that a person has to have in this is she's asik b'mashi yizmin lo haboir mehem. Person should engage in the panos, in the work that he does, that a Kosh Baruch is prepared for him. Like we saw earlier, person has to choose, has to know his inclinations, he has to know his strengths, his weaknesses, he has to know what he's good at, what he enjoys, in order in deciding, that we saw already in Perek Gimel, in order to decide what the correct hishtadlis, the correct work that he should be doing is, and that Hashem provided for him. That's to give him the minimum, what he needs for his essential sustenance, food, the basic needs that a person needs to survive. And to attain that which is sufficient for his other essential necessities in this world. If a Kosh Bocha makes a gezeira, then he'll get more than that. In other words, he works out what his ishtadlis is, and he makes his ishtadlis that will provide him with his bare necessities. Whatever that is, whatever he needs to live on and survive. Now, if a Kosh Bocha comes along and decides he's going to give him extra, beyond these basic necessities, it'll come to him without any additional effort. He doesn't have to make any extra ishtadlis whatsoever. He has to have betochen. We'll see how important the betochen here is. He has to have betochen that if a Kosh Baruch wants to give him extra, he'll get it without any extra work, without any extra toil. He has to make ishtadlis that will provide him with a minimum, whatever he needs to survive, anything extra Kosh Baruch Hu will or won't give him, but it's got nothing to do with the effort he makes. He's not supposed to make any effort. We'll see the effort could actually even stop it happening.
So, Rabbi, it sounds like that the first set of Ishtadlus from this, I mean, I know we've learned not like that, but it sounds like that the first part of the Ishtadlus is for your necessities is needed. And then you don't need Ishtadlus for the next part. Because we've always learned the Ishtadlus doesn't make it happen. But it sounds like
Ishtadlus doesn't make it happen, that's for sure. Ishtadlus doesn't make it happen. You have to make Ishtadlus based on the criteria that we discussed in Perek Gimel, and we discussed here a little bit as well. Right. You have to make Ishtadlus that would bring the minimum amount that you need to live on.
Right.
Okay. You'd have to know that whatever you get came from the Gzera Shem, not from your Ishtadlus.
Anyway, it wasn't from the Ishtadlus, but that's the amount of Ishtadlus you have to make.
I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that because there's a lot of other criteria in how much Ishtadlus you have to make. Mm. He says you have to do the Ishtadlus that is matim for you, that will bring your minimum requirements, but knowing that the minimal requirements doesn't come through the Ishtadlus. Okay. That's always going to be the challenge here. He's unraveling those two things, which are very difficult to unravel. In a chinami. But yeah, and there we have a chi of the raisa. Remember, we saw that according to the Chovas Halavavas, you have a chi of the raisa to make ishtadlus. Nothing to do with Pseh Pecha Toich Alechem. That's something else that's got to do with. There was another nisoin we saw there. We saw from Rav Matisyahu that the difference between Pseh Pecha Toich Alechem pre that and post the sin of Adam Rishon. Well, I'm not going into that now. But now the extra money that a person wants, he shouldn't make his ishtadlus for. You shouldn't. If Hashem wants to give it to you, you'll get it. If he doesn't want to give it to you, you won't get it. Now that's the same in the minimum as well. In the minimum as well, you can make all the ishtadlus you want in the world. If Hashem doesn't want to give it to you, you won't get it. Correct? But you have to make the ishtadlus. Yeah, he's telling but you mustn't make it.
Yeah, it's counterintuitive. Well, it's all counterintuitive, but this is even more. You would think if you want to make more money or if you want to do something, you should put in more effort. This is why this is called
Shara Betochen. This is you have the Betochen. This is where that's what he says. We discussed not Ishtadlus now, by the way. We're discussing the Betochen. Remember what he said? The betochen that you have to have in the extra money. The correct betochen that a person should have is that he should do whatever the minimum ishtadlus, whatever the ishtadlus is determined for him based on the criteria there in Perek Gimel. And he should do it and go about it in order. In order what it takes to do, that would be the normal way of making what he needs to live on. That's a whole discussion on its own. I don't want to go into that too much now, how much ishtadlus you have to make. But what's going to come to him more, that he shouldn't make any ishtadlus for him. It'll come. That's it. You don't have to make any ishtadlus for that. Now he says something very important here. Let's just hear what he says, and we'll come with this. I understand it sounds a little bit, it's always going to be difficult, that Rav Shlomo, because the way the Chovas Halavavos expresses it, it seems that the panos is coming via the ishtadlus, the loshen he uses, and he says it's not like that. So that's chelek of the challenge here. Okay? Understand, I don't know. But he says like this, is when will you get this extra panosa, this extra money that you're not supposed to make any effort for? Kashe yiftach elokim bo v'lo yarbe lachzo al asibois. You know when you'll get it? When you have a tochen in Hashem and you don't make any more ishtadlus. So this is a sod we saw right in the beginning of the Chovas Halavavos. If a person understands, now this is already... You have to isolate this because otherwise there's again the shtagaya. This should be exactly the same in the first category as well. We're talking in the second category. So let's just see it here in isolation. And then we'll try and unravel a little bit in the first category as well. If a person believes that the extra income is dependent kulu kulu on a Kosh Bochus gzeira, and not has anything to do with his effort, then if Hashem has decided he's going to get it, he'll get it. It'll come to you without having to work at all. Okay? It's quite even possible that if he will make more hishtadlus, he won't get it. Because of the principle we saw right in the beginning, that whatever person has betochen in, that's what a Kodesh Baruch Hu leaves him with. That means, if you have betochen in Hashem, then Hashem says, fine, I have to take care of you because you have betochen in me. You have betochen in your ishtadlus, Hashem says, fine, so you don't need me. You live with the ishtadlus. You go live with Derech HaTeva. Is massive hashgachos mimenu, terrifying there. He says it takes away the hashgacha. Kodesh Baruch Hu takes away his hashgacha from the person. And the person then is left with the bank manager, with the chokhmah, with his work, with his cleverness, whatever. That's what you get left with. So that could be the yosodia. That could be the sodia in this understanding here, that he dafka shouldn't make any extra effort. Why is he making effort in the first place? Because you have a chiyuv deraisit. You have to make some ishtadlus. What kind of ishtadlus? The kind of ishtadlus that would normally bring about this kind of panosa that you need for your basic needs. You go make that ishtadlus based on the criteria that we've learned. And then you sit back. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't, it doesn't come. It's also not a guarantee that you'll get it. If it comes, it comes. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. That's why he says, if it's not coming, he said earlier, if it's not coming, Chelek Aleph, remember, he said, if it doesn't come, don't change your ishtadlus. Just keep doing what you're doing, because either you got it earlier or you'll get it later, or you spent it for something else already. But that you don't change your ishtadlus. But now there's this extra stuff that we're talking about now in Chelek Beis. There you're not supposed to make ishtadlus at all. In fact, making ishtadlus might prevent it from coming, because you have to be kulu betochid in Hashem that the extra that you want, these luxuries, whatever these additional things are, if Hashem goes, you'll get them, If you won't, you won't. Nothing to do with ishtadlus. The first Chelek also has nothing to do with ishtadlus, but then you have a chiyuv to make ishtadlus. You can't say, okay, well, I won't make ishtadlus. No, because for that you have to make ishtadlus. That's the difference between these two categories. And you shouldn't rely on them at all. I don't know why you shouldn't rely on them if you're not going after them. But funny, he says, you shouldn't rely on them, but I'm not going after them, so why would I rely on them? I think he means that you shouldn't go after them, but even if you decide you are going to go after them, then they'd kick back into category one and they'll rely on them. So that's very dangerous. Therefore, a person shouldn't take extra jobs, he shouldn't find extra work, he shouldn't take in extra clients. Once again, practically for us, we're not going to always paskin every piece of halacha according to the Chovos HaLevavos. We said right in the beginning, there are a lot of different approaches and angles, and you have to know what's matim for you in the times we live, how, when, what, your family will see. You'll go through it all, we're in the second category. Don't start paskin halacha here according to what we see here. Okay? That's the first warning. But at least to be aware of where the betocha needs to be. The betocha needs to be that if I'm supposed to be getting extra, I'll get it. And if it was Hashem doesn't want to give him more than just his essential, what he needs to live, if he will do all these shtadlis in the world from Shemaim to Aretz, you wouldn't be able to get it. You're not going to add to what was decreed to you, no matter how much ishtadlus you make. So why bother? Because it doesn't work. So, okay. Well, there's a shtickle there that brings a whole piece. I want to maybe go through it, just even like a little bit inside, outside. Very important to know this, just to be practical and make it relevant to us. Over here, what we've just learned now, the Chovos HaLevavos draws a big distinction, as I've mentioned, between a person's basic necessities and extra income. Now, what exactly that is for each person is going to be different, right? For me, having an air conditioner is a basic necessity. For another guy, an air conditioner might be a luxury. But then you have air conditioning there in Johannesburg, Jonathan? Today, it's probably more common, but I know a lot of people in South Africa don't have air conditioning. Where I live, everyone is
Africa. A very interesting place. A lot of people don't have air
conditioning. But I have air conditioning, so you can't tell me that air conditioning is an absolute necessity. it's not exactly a big luxury, but it's something between. So you have to know it yourself. Where I live, you can ask Shlomo, he's been down here in the summer. Jonathan, I think you also were down here in the summer. It's a little shaykh. When it's 44 degrees in the summer, you don't tell me you don't need any, and the houses have no insulation. So then for me, an air conditioner is not a luxury. So for me, that's basic necessity.
Even where I live.
In Beit Shemesh today.
Beit Shemesh also, you got to have one.
Nachon. So that's what I'm saying. It depends. I know somebody, there's one person in Tifrach, he was born here, I don't know, 100 years ago, whatever. He still doesn't have air conditioning. He never had it, and he doesn't need it, and he survives without it. Fine. So for him, an air conditioner might be considered an extra comfort, a luxury, I don't know, whatever. But for me, it's a basic necessity. So saying these things aren't objective, exactly what is, what isn't. Ruchaim Kanievsky avoided having an air conditioner for many, many years because he felt, so the story goes, he couldn't use it on Shabbos because in those days they used to use batteries for Shabbos. They didn't use electricity. So he used batteries and he couldn't run his, or even in the early days of the generators, you couldn't run your air conditioner on a generator. So he didn't want to have the weekday more geschmack, more enjoyable, more tanugim than on Shabbos. He didn't get it. One day somebody came and whatever, he wasn't there, they put in an air conditioner. They donated an air conditioner. So he said, had he known how much better he learns with the air conditioner, this is in Bnei Brak, okay? Air conditioning in Bnei Brak is not exactly a luxury either. So he said, had he realized how much better he learns with the air conditioner, he would have bought one years ago. You have to know. So for then that's not considered luxury anymore. So what I'm saying is it depends on the person, what he needs, whatever. You have to be ruthlessly honest with yourself. Yeah. But be that as it may, he says like this. So a person has to make ishtadlis in order to sustain yourself, whatever you have to feed, whatever you have to take care of. But there's no ishtadlis whatsoever for extra. In fact, he says it's wasted. It's absolutely wasted time. You have to have proper betochen that you'll get the extra, and then you'll get it or you won't. But making extra effort will actually even maybe prevent you from getting it. So it's like this. He says like this. I just want to read it the way he brings us down. It says like this. In short, ishtadlus is part of the system Hashem set in place for granting people their necessities and no place in the realm of luxuries. Ishtadlus is something which exists in the world of necessities. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the system, that to get your necessities, you need to make some kind of ishtadlus. Whatever, however we understand that. It's part of Hashem's plan that his world contained both wealthy people and poor people, and he distributes wealth as he sees fit, regardless of the person's efforts. That's on Matnas Chelko, he says like that. That's from Matisya Solomon, he's quoting here. And that fits in very well. Why we'll see he's going to discuss it. The Chovetz is going to discuss this. Is according to him, why Kodesh Baruch Hu says you have to make ishtadlus is to test us, to make sure that we'll be occupied and we'll be tested in doing the proper ishtadlus, kosher ishtadlus, which he's going to discuss at length, whatever. That all fits into the world of basic income. So when it comes to surplus, when it comes to extra income, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't denounce. The Chovetz Chaim doesn't say you shouldn't have it, you shouldn't want it. Everybody, people have, he says, very important this. It's on the Pas Halechem. There's more chashuv to know this. You know, in the frum world, you can start thinking if you don't live in a damp basement and just eat onions, you know, then there's something wrong with you. You know, you don't have any pleasure in the world. There's a false godel. One of the intrinsic faults in the Haredi chinuch that we have is that somehow the more miserable you are, the better off you are. That's not true. Kosh Baruch Hu created a lot of world with lots of pleasure, with lots of benefits, with lots of enjoyments, and he wants us to use them. He wants us to enjoy them. The only question is what price do you pay for them? How much time are you going to expend to get them when you could rather be doing more spiritual things? So he says, he points out very nicely. He says that the Chovetz Chaim negates his shtadlis in regard to these extra incomes. He doesn't denounce the desire for them, because it's natural for a person to seek a bit of comfort. It's natural for a person to seek more than just, you know, Rav Aaron Leib could sit on a chair without a back. He sat on like a wooden stool, hours and hours learning. Fine. I couldn't do that. I know for myself that if I would sit like that for 50 minutes, I'd have to get up, walk, and my back would get sore. I wouldn't be able to concentrate. I need loyachol. So for me, I need a chair that's a little bit more comfortable. Now, I don't need a 10,000 shekel leather, upholstered Italian imported chair. No, I need a chair that's a little bit more comfortable than a kitchen stool. You know, everyone's different. Yonatan there needs a goma goma, whatever, in order to just survive. Whatever each person's got is, there's nothing wrong with wanting a bit of comfort and wanting a little bit of extra. He brings a raya he brings his raya from the broch of Ren Foshes. We thank Hashem for the chesroinos, for what we lack, but the bracha also we see that it's kol mashebora lachayos b'im nefesh chol chay. We also thank Hashem for the extra things that give us chius, that give us a little bit of extra pleasure, a little bit of extra enjoyment. Listen, we live in a world that's drowning in gashmis. Rav Pinkus spoke about this at length. The void of this generation is not precious. Our void is not to cut ourselves off from the physical world and be detached and live a life of deprivation. That's not our void. That's not where we become great. We have to learn how to utilize these things and live with them correctly and in proper proportion, proper balance. It's all share its own. I'm not going to go into that now. And to acknowledge the source of where these things come from. When a person's having pleasure, you have to recognize that it's coming from Hashem. That's more our avoider than living these deprived type of existences. For us, we're very far from that. If you could do that and still be besimcha, for sure you should do that. But most of us, when we start depriving ourselves of important things, even though they would be considered when I get luxuries, you start getting miserable. That's dangerous. And that's what the Yetzer Hara wants. The Yetzer Hara wants your depression and your sadness much more than he wants your precious. So we have to know, and the Shara B'tochen is all Shara precious, which we're not going to even try and attempt to deal with, because they're all kol kach relevant to us. We're a generation that's drowning in Gashmias, and we were brought into it and born in it, and each according to his own sort of level, but you have to know that it's not posh. At the same time, the pursuit and the hedonistic, frenetic rush after all the Gashmias, there's also sickness, it's also disease, it's not healthy at all. Have to find a balance and a healthy sense of proportion. That's what I think he's saying here. So he says, while the desire for comfort is normal, one should maintain an attitude of complete betochen that Hashem will on his own provide whatever comfort is due. In other words, you go out there and make panasa, which will bring you your minimum that you need to live on and whatever, and trust Hashem that he'll take care of whatever else you need to take care of. You don't have to live a life of deprivation and misery and whatever. How you work that out, that's a caveat. So with the Roman, you have to work that out, because what one man's luxury is another person's necessities. You might have to work harder, longer, depends on your level of betochen, how much you have to work, how much ishtalus, where. I'm not going into all the formulas here for knowing how much ishtalus. That's another discussion. But yeah, you have to have betochen, that Hashem will give you the extra, whatever the extra that is for you. And for somebody flying first class might be considered a necessity. For him, a luxury is having his own private jet. The guy couldn't sit in business class if he tried. Frau Waxman once got bumped into first class, and he was sitting next to this guy. He was the secretary of finance to the minister of finance of one of these rich Arab countries, and he's sitting there in first class. And Frau Waxman said the guy apologized about 10 times to him. Yeah. Because he doesn't normally fly commercial airlines first class. He has his own private jet, but the jet had to take the minister somewhere, and he's meeting him, and like embarrassed because he's sitting up there in first class, you know? This guy's a nobody. I mean, he has to apologize to Rav Waxman. He's flying first class. The guy's mamash never. But for some people, you know, that flying first class could be considered, that basics. You know, put him in business class, you're mad. That's not, he couldn't sit there, he wouldn't be able to enjoy the flight. You know, and the next guy there, I once flew on a flight with a very big millionaire, and he was sitting in economy class. I said to him, what are you doing in business class? He said, I don't mind sitting in a chair like this for 8 hours. I'm like, what's the problem? Why would I waste $10,000 flying first class like those youngsters up there? And he named a few of them. So you know what I'm saying, that for him a necessity, he has to fly somewhere. He flies economy class, so for him to sit in business class to be a luxury, even though he had the extra money. He was a big bald stocker. He knew how to live, he knew how to use his money. We'll see in the next chelek, yeah, how you use the extra money that you get. But that's the vote, is a person shouldn't make any more ishtadlis, but you first have to determine what your essentials are and what your luxuries are. That's a hard cheshbon. And if you have a wife and children, whatever, you may have to take them into account as well. We'll see when we get to, I think it's Chelek Dalek, where he discusses the betochen you have when it comes to the people that you support that are in your life, besides just yourself. Now we're talking about yourself. What do you need? What can you live on? Make the minimum ishtadlus you can make in order to survive. And everything else, you have betochen and you leave that to Hashem. So he says like this, Kasheh yiftach be'elokim. Yemotze menuchas liboy v'shalvas nafshoy. He will find menuchas liboy. He talks about liboy, meaning the mind. He will have peace of mind. He'll have tranquility. Ki lo ya'avreinu chukav el zulosoy. He knows that whatever's due to him will come to him. It's not going to go to somebody else by mistake. You know, if you're not in the right place, or whatever, Shimon, you know, if you're going to get it, you're going to get it. And you won't be able to get it earlier or later. If it was supposed to come today, it'll come today. If it's not supposed to come tomorrow, it won't come tomorrow. There's no way you can make it come earlier. It will come whenever it's supposed to come. So that's to remember, that's the betochen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will decide whether you're going to get anything more. I mean, Hashem's going to decide whether you get the basic minimum as well. That we've dealt with. Now we're dealing with this. There you have to make ishtadlus, and there you can get confused. It's much easier this, by the way, because when you're making ishtadlus, then you can come to think that your ishtadlus is actually doing something. That's where the real nisoyin is. You're doing it, and you think that because you're doing it, so then you think that because you did it, that that's what's coming. So that's very dangerous. That's a problem. That's a hard struggle. But yeah, you're not supposed to make any ishtadlus. So whatever extra comes, you know that it has nothing to do with your ishtadlus because you didn't make ishtadlus. It came because you had the tochet. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Geize, and you allowed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stay in the picture by having Betochen in Hashem, and Hashem didn't have to remove his Hashbacha from you. Next week, Metz Hashem, if there's a Vaad, there should be, I'm going to try. If there's a problem, I'll let you know. But next week, we'll discuss what happens when you get this extra money, what are you supposed to do with it, how are you supposed to look at it. It's called the Nisoyin of Wealth, the Test of Wealth, because I'll discuss it, the big sugya. What is a person's attitude towards the extra money that he gets? What's his attitude supposed to be? That Metz Hashem will deal with. I don't want to start it now. We could carry on a few more minutes, but it's better to just deal with that. So yeah, that just actually struck me now. I never noticed that before. This one is much easier in a certain extent. Because yeah, you don't have to make ishtadlus. So you never think that it's your ishtadlus that's bringing you this extra money. You know? I mean, in real life, it's not so posh, because in real life, we never make exactly biduk the amount of ishtadlus we need to make in order to get a piece of bread today. We're not like Rabbi Akiva, like Hillel, let's say. Like Hillel, he used to enter in and he chopped just enough wood in order to buy a loaf of bread and pay the gatekeeper to the best midrash. You know, so there I am, I wouldn't be meduyak. So there, for us, it's a little bit gray. We are making more ishtadlus for things probably than more than we need to survive on. You know, if you take away a few of the luxuries that we have, that we think we can't live without, you actually will be able to live without them. So there's a mod, it's a hard nisoid. We have so many choices, so many options. 100 years ago, the biggest millionaire didn't have the choices today that a very average middle-class person has. The wealth that an average middle-class person has today, the biggest millionaires never had 100 years ago. They might have had more servants, they had these big funny houses, they had servants, but they didn't have electricity, they didn't have inside toilets, they didn't have... I know a lot of the luxuries we've got, they certainly don't have air conditioning, cars, you know, just like basic stuff. We have so much wealth today in our homes that are considered necessities. If you want to take your betochen a bit further, then one of the eitzes of Dessler gives is that you shouldn't take on new things unless you really, really have checked it out and need it. When the latest fad hits town, don't run out and buy it, because once you've got it, you can't live without it. Guy used to walk to work every day. Yeah, then he buys a bicycle. You know, he condemns him, but he gets a bicycle. Now he can't walk to work. If the one day is a puncture, he has to walk to work. It's a real pain. Yeah? And after a while on the bicycle, he buys a moped. And then the moped breaks down, the one has to cycle to work. He can't. He's like, he's shattered. He can't. We all know that. Everybody knows it. And then he gets a car. Now the moped's useless. And we just keep more and more and more and more. A person has to be very careful what he brings into his life, because once you brought it in, you can't live without it. And then you need to make more ishtadlus. Or you think you need to make more ishtadlus. And then you get very much, that's how people get caught up in the trap. Yesh mono reitzim asayim. So as he gets more, he wants more. And his debt gets bigger and bigger. So he's becoming poorer and poorer. So That's what Dad Desla says. Not that you shouldn't get it, but just think fast before you bring new tzatzkas into your house.
Very, very good.
We have a wonderful Enjoy. Week. Take good you. Care.
Thank you, you too. Thank you. Looking forward to next week. Be well. I hope you also have a good week.
Take good care, Rabbi. So all the best.
Cheers. Thank you so much, Rob.